Hey, what's up? It's Chris.
Hey, it's Jonathan Tokutake.
Andrew Marentis, how you doing?
All right, so we released a... Oh, I'm good. Were you asking me specifically?
Or I was asking everyone.
Oh, okay. Cool.
How are you lovelies doing?
Well, I'm doing well today.
Oh, that's good.
You know, thanks for asking.
Yeah. Sorry. I love how you didn't give an answer. You just said thanks for
asking. Yeah, thanks for asking. You know, I'm just the one right here.
Gotta be passive aggressive about it, man.
Yeah.
That was a good intro. We should do that more. All right, so we yesterday we released a podcast. We probably should have done a Batman versus Superman on its own, but it ran late, so we decided to do another one with basically just our trailers. But before we do, there's a couple of big news things that came out, so we'll just briefly talk about that. Frank Marshall was doing a interview or a thing at CinemaCon
in Las Vegas. It's where the theater owners get together and they get to see a lot of the cool stuff before anybody else.
So become a theater owner, I guess, is really the point of this. But they talked Indiana Jones 5, which, as you know, because you listen to our podcast, is coming out. And what they said is that it's basically a continuation of the last one, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which is very not great news for anyone who likes movies. Right? I mean, it doesn't sound good.
You know, I enjoyed Batman vs. Superman, so obviously I have to enjoy Crystal Skull, right?
Oh, man.
Oh, not again.
Well, let me just say that, you know, Crystal Skull, it was one of those movies we were all very excited to see, probably when it was about to come out, and then he just left the theater as if, like, just, he just got punched in the gut.
I think South Park did it best.
Yeah,
George Lucas and Spielberg.
No, you're raping him.
Yeah, well, I'll have South Park personify that their own way. I guess just for me though, I was expecting something different. And the way that one ended, it tied up a lot of things. I kind of liked, it did have that. You know, you got to see Henry and Marion get together, which I thought was pretty good, because I liked them together.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they're saying it's a continuation. That means we'll probably still get Karen Allen again. I don't know. But I guess what we're all trying to say is, where does that leave with...
What's Shy going to be doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Are they bringing him back, or is he too busy putting bags over his head and walking around Hollywood?
Well, he's not famous anymore, right?
Maybe he's...
There
you go, right.
Wow, yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully they'll just, like, do something with him as if, like, maybe he's just on site or something, or he's off the...
Because I haven't heard anything about his involvement in this so far, when you hear part two, you would assume that the big player in part one is going to be back for part two, considering he wasn't killed off.
Yeah.
So his name is what, Mutt?
It was Mutt, but then wasn't it, like, Junior also? I only saw the movie once.
MJ? Wouldn't it be the third?
Right. Oh, yeah, it was Henry. Yeah, it was Henry Jones III. I believe now. Yeah,
but that's. Well, I remember the original idea was he was going to take up the mantle as.
They were very close to doing that. I was like, I called bull crap on that. But then thankfully, at the last scene where you had Harrison take the hat away from him, I was like, there you go.
Frank Marshall did come out and say this too, which was nice about it. He did say that there was only one actor who would ever play Indiana Jones. They are thinking about other sequels besides this one. But Harrison Ford will always be it. So there won't be a recast kind of like we're doing with Han Solo to do some...
So we're not going to see Chris Pratt as Indiana Jones anytime soon.
Oh, damn. That would be cool.
There was actually serious consideration for that last year, especially around the time Jurassic World came out. This is like post-Guardians of the Galaxy, Chris Pratt. And, with him, he just won, what was it, Best Action Star, MTV Movie Awards this year.
He can
year,
win
so.
All the awards, I don't care.
I like Chris Pratt,
I
you know?
I think
I just
would be really cool.
Give
he
him the right role.
He fits really well in that Indiana Jones
I didn't part. Really care
Better
for
than Child does.
I wish they did a little bit more with him in Jurassic World. I mean, that movie was a little bit of a letdown for me, but honestly, I kind of rewatched it a little bit yesterday, and I kind of was like, okay, Chris Pratt, this is not bad.
But to be completely fair about Child, though. He has grown as an actor since then.
He really has. He does do some good acting.
But I think the issue is that the role might be a little too campy for him, because he'll just go way too far camp. I think that's the issue.
I think Chris Pratt would nail it.
Yeah.
And I think if we're going to do anyone, it's Chris Pratt.
They definitely need someone who's able to do quips.
All right. Well, speaking of actors and actresses and shitty movies, because that's what we were talking about. Vox actually just came out with... They put together some formula based off reviews and things like that. And they picked the... They did a 15 worst... Or actors consistently in the worst movies and in the best movies. Now, top three actors in the worst movies. Number one, I'll give you a hint. He was a stapler in South Park.
Yes, Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider, number one.
The stapler.
And shortly behind that, no surprise, his buddy, Adam Sandler.
Ugh.
Followed by number three, Ashton Kutcher.
Ooh, okay.
So those are your top three. Now, female-wise, number one, Jennifer Love Hewitt, which I didn't even know she really did anything for her to be in.
Is she like on Lifetime TV shows now?
But do they count? I don't know.
I honestly don't remember the last movie I saw her in.
I still know what you did last summer.
That's probably helping something.
All right. Jessica Alba was number two, which she, again, I haven't remembered anything she's done since like Fantastic Four. And three, Katherine Heigl, who really butchered her career after Knocked Up. That was kind of on her. All right. So now we'll go to the top 15. I'll give you guys quick rundown. Are you guys surprised by any of those?
No. I'm really not.
No, nothing. Me either. All right.
Hold
so
my breath.
The rest of the clan, four was Kevin James, five, Taylor Lautner, six, Oscar winner Cuba Gooding Jr.
Okay.
Seven, Hayden Christensen, eight, Gerard Butler, which is kind of, he can do some good stuff.
He's half and half with me.
Nine is Charlie Sheen, 10 is Jason Statham. 10 is Jason Statham. 11 is Vince Vaughn. 12 is Sylvester Stallone. 13 is Christian Slater, who's actually coming back. Mr. Robot is a great series.
Was he on that?
Yeah, and I'm Archer.
I've not seen that show.
Mr. Robot is definitely a movie that.
There's a show that he was on a few years ago. It was a show by the creator of the Goldbergs, Adam Goldberg. He did a show called Breaking In on Fox. It was a very short-lived show. First season of that was
shows on Fox are.
Yeah, it was just that show was just so great, and you know, Chris Slater's character was like this over the top guy who ran this security company. You remember that movie Sneakers?
Yes.
It was basically Sneakers, but we had these like young nerdy cut types that you know walked around. It's kind of like Sneakers meets The Office in a way, but it's not done like documentary style. But Slater was just this over the top guy who you know was pretty much in charge of this Motley Crue, and I really liked him on that. And I really wish that they did more things with that show. But yeah, with it being Fox, they eventually brought it back for a second season, but it was like. They changed it. It became something completely different, unfortunately. But
he might be up for a best supporting actor in these upcoming Emmys because Mr. Robot was the best show on TV.
I really need to see that show now.
It was absolutely incredible, and when you see that, it's shot like a film. The cinematography is the best I've ever seen on TV.
And this is something that's on SIFI?
It's on USA.
Oh, it's on USA. I was going to say, I thought it was on SIFI at first. Sorry, Sci-Fi Channel.
I mean, SIFI.
All right. It's SIFI. Christian Slater was 13, 14 was Josh Hartnett, and 15 was actually the Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't say that.
So that was a little bit of a surprise because he does some good stuff, but yeah.
I like Jake the Statham. I haven't seen this one yet. This is the new one that just came out, right?
Yep, so we're doing TMNT. Depending on how much our computer really screwed us over, you're either back where we started, or you missed the last 15 minutes of, or 3 minutes of glorious conversation about Suicide Squad, Rogue One, and
Skull Island.
Skull Island, King Kong.
A guy died during it.
Yeah, I guarantee you. We really just had the best ever. And if this all blended fine, then you already know that. But if you didn't, then you missed out.
James Earl Jones was here. It was great.
We had quite the interview. Yeah. Yes. So God even came down and had a conversation with us.
Same thing, right?
So, anyways, we're on a TMNT. It's number two trailer. What'd you guys think of the first one before we get into this new one?
Other shite.
Did you think all right, let's talk first. The first movie. Did you like the first movie?
I didn't really care for it.
I didn't like it at all.
No.
And first trailer of this second movie.
Not like enough Barbara.
There was some stuff I liked. I really liked the turtle van. I liked the fact that they were using Run DMC. I'm a Run DMC fan, so that was, you know, a little bit of a bias right there. But the fact that you introduced Bebop and Rocksteady into the mix, that's kind of cool to me.
Wait, were you talking about the first trailer or the first movie?
The first question was the first movie. Second question is the first trailer.
First trailer? I actually got a little excited because, again, I remember growing up watching these. Like, I wasn't, you know, I'm not as old as you guys are, but I remember
watching it.
Hey.
I remember watching reruns, and we had them all on cassette. It was great. I loved Bebop Rocksteady. I love Krang and all those guys. So it's really nice to see them, especially since we never seen them on, you know, on the big screen yet.
And so when we were doing this, we did a Rumble with the Ramble guys. In the East Coast, and Eric, this was Eric's choice as movie that he was most excited for off of the trailer, and he brought up the same point, the characters. Yes. My issue, real quick, is that just having a character in the movie doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a good movie. It's still going to take my money. It makes it a little bit more exciting, but it also is a little bit more fearful, because if the first movie didn't work, and now they're bringing some of your favorite characters, it may only set you up for bigger disappointment. We'll find out. We're watching trailer two. Okay.
So that was a thing.
So, how do you, after that first talk, how do you feel about this now?
Hit and miss.
You know, it can either be awesome and it just caused all by surprise, or it could just be more of the same thing. I'm actually not liking how they gave Shredder a face. One of my favorite things that they did do in the first one was they made Shredder a silhouette, a character that you don't quite see very well. They do show him without his mask and without his helmet, but you can tell that he was there. He's an entity almost. Whereas this, you give him a face, you're basically humanizing the bad guy who's not supposed to be humanized.
Remember watching the cartoon, he was always there, and he was kind of a goofy, over-the-top character.
I'm also talking about the comics, too.
But they're definitely not going by the comics with this movie.
Even their recent show, Shredder is never seen without his mask. So even in the original show, they never show him without his mask.
They show him a few times, especially in like the miniseries, and also the flashbacks. One? Yeah, the original. There's like a scene where he actually takes off his mask.
Flashbacks are something a little different.
We're talking about a different media at this point, too. We're talking about this new film.
But
series.
The movie itself, I mean, you're adding some really cool elements to it. They just really are building on what we've seen. We have the sci-fi element, which I really like. Some of the jokes are a little...
Hopefully there's another fart joke.
There probably will be. Yeah. But, you know, like I said before, you're adding stuff into it. You got Bebop, Rocksteady, you got Casey Jones. Now then, of course, you can also say that this is going to be character overload. And it's just so many different characters at one time. It could cause a lot of just... It could really just sway the storyline. So I mean, I'm not really sure exactly what they're trying to do with it. Alien invasion,
They're actual dimensional, not aliens.
Well, I mean, like, you have the invasion storyline, you have the can we become human kind of thing.
Yeah.
And of course the love triangle, if you want to call it that. It seems like a lot.
I think the story is kind of shaping up a little bit for me, because I like the idea of him wanting to be out, and then there's this thing that can make them humans, but should they really, who are they at heart? That part's interesting. Michael Bay is producing it, so I'm just very afraid that is just going to be completely passed over.
Was the ooze purple?
I don't know. I always thought it was green.
It was the mutagen. I was like, it was green.
And that's fine if you want to change it for your own thing, whatever. But at the same time, this movie, I still don't feel like I really like the look. And also this movie looks like more Transformers. We have the same kind of shots. We have the same kind of ending. There's always going to be an ending where there's something crazy going on in space, just like, or like a high up altitude. Nothing changes in these films. Nothing changes between, I think it was Transformers 3 or 4, this one.
Yeah.
There's like this giant building that the end scene is on, and there's a big fight sequence about someone's going to fall off or not, and this looks more of the same. It's... How many times can we see the same thing over and over again?
Also, they're fighting a robotic villain as well.
It's getting redundant, and the storyline does have me a little bit more interested, but I think overall the execution of this is going to be more of the same that we've seen in Transformers. You're basically just switching the robots out for turtles and just seeing the same stuff, and
honestly, that makes money for him, though. Like, Michael Bay, you can say, like, the last four... Like, the last... Three Transformer movies have been exactly the same to me.
There's gonna be a breaking point, right? You can't just. I mean, no. At some point, there's gotta be people's feedback or of just not going. When are people gonna smarten up and not go and see Transformers 7?
When they stop making them.
I mean, is that gonna happen? Do you think it's gonna happen where they just go, all right, I'm tired of these movies sucking? Or do you think they're constantly be drawn in by these trailers?
They have a brain trust right now that they've actually formed. So they can actually do more building and like take the conflict out from Earth into like outer space and Cybertron, and they're even doing
should go there.
But they're even going the route with Lucasfilm, you know, making these like Star Wars stories. They're making like a Bumblebee story, and that they're actually doing that.
Is there ever going to be a point though where the fans are like, no?
No, I honestly don't think so.
There's a lot of explosions. Kids want to go see it. It's marketed directly towards kids and people who grew up, they're not good movies. Someone's gonna stop going. But they look pretty.
They make money.
I talk a lot of shit about Michael Bay, but he has an excellent VFX team. All right, they really know how to. The turtles look ugly as sin. They are ugly as sin, but they blend well with what's going on in the background. They blend very well, and I think people realize that how pretty it looks, and kids want to go see it because you know what they see? They see giant turtles fighting giant rhinoceros, not rhinoceroses and stuff like that.
I get that, but I mean, at some point, I feel like we, as maybe a society, and maybe I'm asking too much, eventually have to say enough is enough. And if these people really want higher quality films and things like that, we've got to. I think we've got to stop going to see these movies. And I don't know what the answer to that is, because I know people who generally like, you know, just bland. You know, they don't have, they don't care about Oscar winners. They want their explosion movies. But this is still not. They're still not good explosion movies.
God, no. The last one was, it was white noise to me. Like, after a while, once you have a movie that is almost 80% explosions, it's just white noise. I almost fell asleep during the I don't know if I can even curse here. Can I curse?
I don't know. You already did, so we'll just put it something.
We'll fudge. Okay. Transformers 4 was, I fell asleep during that movie.
Yeah.
It was boring. There was nothing really going on.
It was at the end where they had, like, they turned into, like, dinosaurs or something?
No, they didn't turn into dinosaurs. There were dinosaurs that were fossilized.
Yeah.
Like, there were...
I'm done.
Yeah. Well, done. So, it was shots like that that actually brought people in, because people remember those, I can't remember what the fuck they're called. Those transforming dinosaurs from back then when there used to be toys, all that. They were all over the trailers, and then people just came in and wanted that for the whole movie. And then we came in, like, for the last 5 minutes.
But we're going to move on from Michael Bay. We've got Bye Bye Man, War Dogs, and BFG coming up. So stick right here. And really, and when I say right here, it's going to be a second. Yeah, Alice in Wonderland, Ratchet and Clank, Neighbors 2 are all... Yeah. Oh, it didn't pause. All right, so we just watched the preview for Bye Bye Man. I have to say it. One, I'm all in on this film. Absolutely all in. This movie looks awesome. I think some of the cinematography is great. Some of the shots they're doing. Two, produced by some group of people that did Oculus and Strangers, which are arguably two of the better horror films that have come out in the last 10 years. I really liked Oculus. You don't think it's...
Well, Oculus was an okay movie, but I wouldn't call it one of the best horror films.
I mean, put it in the top 10 of the last 10 years. I really liked it. Yeah. But anyways, I'm very intrigued, because I thought Oculus was a very creative story that we've never really seen done before. This does kind of look interesting, especially with all the Slenderman things that are going around. I really thought this was a Slenderman trailer. It's called Bye Bye Man. But it starts off really playing off the informative murder porn phase that people have, like that, you know, real life killings. And I think that opening sequence where he's shooting the door is actually really intense and really cool looking. It kind of brought me back to It Follows for some reason. I think maybe the settings and things. But I think it's shaping up to be a good film, and I'm very intrigued. But I don't think you share that.
No, I really personally, I mean, like you said, I think it looks decent. When I say look, I mean the way it's shot, it looks pretty cool. But I mean, it just looks like another typical type of horror movie. I mean, how many trailers have we seen where it's like, yeah, it's based on actual events, and then they have to cite other better or more commercially successful horror movies to sell its point. I think that even one of the more exciting moments of the movie was pretty much wasted at the very end of the trailer, with the train and all. So I mean, I would have. If I would have seen it, I probably would have liked to have known that to be kind of more of a surprise moment. Yeah. But I could be wrong. This could be one of those movies that really just kind of just becomes its own thing.
Yeah.
When it comes to horror, I'm pretty old school. And when it comes to, like, you know, these, like, slashers / like, you know, very Saw like kind of movies, I'm really tired of it.
Yeah.
Once in a while, you do get, you know, a movie that is in the horror genre that is unique and it does do something different, and I like those. This one, I just think it's still within the same realm of what we've seen before, but it does have an interesting hook. I have to kind of maybe check it out a little bit closer to its time, and I might sway more towards it.
When we talk about old school, you said old school. You know what I did really like about the old school that they had in this was that old school narrator. That guy's voice was very old school. He would have that
Super 8 kind of footage going by.
Yeah, and he had the very old school grindhouse type, you know, in a dark place.
Think about it.
Don't. It was very something similar to that. Yeah, I like that a lot.
But you got the.
I know that doesn't sell.
Got the grindhouse voice. Telling you about the evening's lineup on the L Ray network, and I thought that was more that made me want to watch an old episode of Miami Vice more than Bye Bye Man. I'm sorry, but again, like I said, you know, this could be one of those rare horror movies that just kind of breaks out from word of mouth.
A film like It Follows or whatever else.
Yeah,
kind of came out of the blue. Blue that was really good. It Follows was probably one of the better ones. Yeah, it was better than the other two that I said.
One movie that I always cite as being one that was completely mismarketed, but it turned out being one of the best, you know, released horror movies in a while was The Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods is great.
You know, I went into that movie.
Is that considered horror?
I would definitely consider it horror. It is horror, but there are some stuff. There's stuff in that movie that, yeah.
Are they doing sequels with it? I know that there was definitely the opportunity.
Didn't they blow up the world?
There was actually talk where they're thinking about it because the studio wants a sequel.
Really?
But it's like, you got Drew Goddard, he's doing his thing right now, and Josh Whedon, he's got many things he's doing right now, too.
I'm sure Josh Whedon has nothing but time on his
hands. So, we'll see.
Honestly, I think I'm kind of in the middle about it.
I do not want a sequel for Cabin Woods. I thought that one would just end it perfectly.
Well, I'm talking about Baba Man right now.
Oh.
So, anyway, I'm kind of... I would probably watch it with, like, a close group of friends. Probably watch it with someone who can probably shit all over it during the movie if it is bad. Or, like, if it is good, then we can just sit down and enjoy it. Although, I do feel like they're showing Bioman way too much, maybe. Like, at least... They've shown his face at least 4 times in this trailer.
They didn't keep it a mystery like Babadook, for example.
No.
The Babadook.
Even though the Babadook was just a guy. But I will give this movie a shot. I love horror movies. I don't agree with you when you say that, you know, Oculus, or what was the other one you said?
Strangers.
I would say The Conjuring is pretty high up there.
I would put The Conjuring.
Yeah.
All right, let's say
Conjuring was a successful one, though.
It Follows, Conjuring,
yes.
Yeah. Cabin in the Woods. I really liked Your Next.
Your Next was great.
Okay,
yeah, thank you.
That's a slasher horror.
And then
yeah.
What else would you put in your top 10 over the last couple of years? Just off the top of your head.
Oh God, there were so many bad ones.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Good ones. I liked Oculus. I liked The Strangers. Thoughts? Anyone else? That anything that pops in your head? You brought up Your Next
because that was one of those movies where someone recommended that one to me because I looked at the trailer. I was like, this looks so generic.
Yep.
But then I saw it and I was like, this is an awesome, you know, invasion movie.
Which was very close to The Strangers, but I thought they did a better
job.
Dan's a big fan of it back east. He loves Strangers for whatever reason. But
yeah.
I thought it was alright.
I don't think we had a single good horror movie in the past few months, have we? Like, The Boy was okay. Like, I think
this is kind of when a lot of the January and February and March are kind of tough to get good movies because that's where they drop a lot of garbage.
Oh, The Witch. The Witch was a pretty good
horror movie. The Witch
was
not bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That one slipped by me, but, you know, I don't know. That one just kind of seemed a little bit more...
Too artsy-fartsy for you?
No, I wouldn't say artsy-fartsy. It just, like, you know, for one, it just seemed like one that I had to be in a certain mood to see.
All right.
It's true.
Because, I mean, a lot of people who are these, like, you know, horror fiends, you're not going to get, like a Jason Voorhees-type movie with this. It's going to be something that's really going to just be more atmospheric.
It's very... yes, atmosphere is a very big part of this
and
movie.
I like atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's just that you have to be in a certain mood to be in that. Because if I'm in a theater with some kids that are just laughing on their phones, forget it.
I'm out.
Oh, God. I had that issue when I went to go see it. A group of, like, teenagers and decided...
Yeah.
Stop being dicks, teenagers.
Yeah.
Pick up your shit.
So our next one is... Yeah, seriously, that's super annoying.
Oh, my God.
All right, so our next one is War Dogs. If you don't know anything really about War Dogs, it's basically a film that stars Miles Teller from Whiplash, if you don't know, and we'll not talk about
Fantastic
Four.
Oh, and also his recent box office hit, Allegiant.
He's, like, a minor character on that. So it's not
too
bad.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Don't be so mean to him.
I just saw the end of
and,
it, and he was there.
Jonah Hill, who's put together quite a career, actually. You know, at first he looked like he was just going to be the comic. I remember Accepted,
the fat guy.
Ask Me About My Wiener. Yeah, that was a great movie. I would love Accepted.
Would have told that told if you would have told me that guy would have been nominated for the Academy Award
twice, right?
Twice.
Is it
no,
twice?
I think it was twice. Yeah.
Yeah, because he did. I know Wolf of Wall Street. And I thought Moneyball too was.
Yeah,
that?
Yeah,
so
Moneyball
twice.
Hey, I think about her when I'm masturbating.
What?
It's a line from.
No, but yeah, he's
like,
really.
Where's he going with this?
He's really come together really well. You know, but he's done drama. He's done. He's even
22 Jump Street, 21 Jump Street.
He was even in Django Unchained. And one moment he was in a Tarantino movie.
This is the end.
This
he's done some
end.
Great things. He's another. You know, you could almost put him as like a John C. Reilly type of guy. And we talked about him earlier. One of the things I thought was really interesting.
The only thing is, I think he gets a little bit more of the drama roles, though, than John C. Reilly, I would say. Yeah.
I mean, I think one thing that was really cool about Jonah Hill, he kind of sparked, is you saw Seth Rogen take a role very similar to, like, a Jonah Hill role in Steve Jobs. We played Wozniak, and I thought that was very...
So maybe we'll see more, like, with him, you know.
With Seth Rogen moving forward. But anyways, this movie is called War Dogs. I'm pretty sure it's off of a Rolling Stone article, but we're going to check it out now. And we'll be back in really... This is weird. Okay, so that was War Dogs, previously known as Arms and the Dudes. It's based off a Rolling Stone article by Guy Lawson, which I read, which was pretty good. I picked up on that halfway through it. But Miles Teller, Jonah Hill starring, Todd Phillips is actually the director. He did... I know. He did The Hangover. The first Hangover was good. Second and third one, we can...
I never saw a second or third.
Great, don't.
I didn't even like the first one.
But I did like Old School, though.
Yeah, I think he does some good stuff, and I think this movie actually looks pretty good. The plot's there for him to do it. You mm-hmm. have the talent there to get it done.
It sounds funny.
It does have some funny moments. I think the plot is actually going to really carry this into a good film.
The way I saw the movie was a little bit different. I mean, I really think the studio is relying on the fact that Todd Phillips directed it. But there are parts in that preview that made me think, oh, this is going to get into some serious territory here where it can actually be like some sort of a drama.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like, it reminded me a lot of Pain and Gain.
Yep.
Pain and Gain was marketed as some sort of like, I guess, some really quirky comedy. But that one had some pretty dark elements in it. And, mm-hmm. So this one kind of reminds me a little bit of Pain and Gain. I wasn't too much of a fan of Pain and Gain. I'm not sure why, because that kind of movie...
I wasn't either.
It kind of seems up my alley.
I did like it.
But,
I did,
yeah,
Well, it's all right.
But, you know, it's like... With this one, I guess I'm not really a big fan of Miles, I guess, for one. I don't,
really?
Just something about him.
Did you not like Whiplash?
I liked Whiplash. Just something about him. I just
How
don't really...
How can you not like him in Fantastic Four Stick?
Hey, you know, we're not going to... We don't talk about that. Anyway,
it didn't
talking about,
happen.
We're talking about War Dogs now.
But I think you have two guys who are funny people.
Yeah.
Miles Teller is definitely hilarious. He showed that off in Spectacular Now. Oh, that's another great film that he was in. And Jonah Hill, we know it's funny. But what the cool thing about this film is that we know they can both do dramatic acting. We both know Jonah Hill can and Miles Teller, obviously, in Whiplash. And I think, you know, parts of The Hangover were kind of dark at points, I think. And I think that's something that Todd Phillips can hopefully bring to this film is that he doesn't... That he walks the proper line in this.
I think it
boils down to that.
I just want to comment that, you know, I'm just commenting on the fact that it's a trailer. That, you know, it just looks like it's maybe a misleading trailer.
It might be showing us all the good parts, huh?
Maybe all the funny parts.
Oh, funny parts, okay.
And so I think this might be actually be a pretty decent drama. You know, with comedic elements and some action in it too, but, you know, who knows how much of that action was actually real.
He's probably doing more Jay Roach type stuff where he does comedy drama stuff.
There you go. Like, that's a good example. So, I mean, like, again, we'll have to wait and see.
Are you good?
I'm good. I'm going to watch this movie. I was laughing my ass off.
All right, cool. Well, we'll end with that. All right, we're moving on to something very different. The BFG. What does the BFG stand for?
Oh, Big Fucking Gun, right?
Right.
No.
No?
No.
No.
No, no, no. No.
It's not a Doom movie?
No.
Wait,
damn.
It's not because that's why I timed it right after War Dogs. I thought those would tie right into it.
No,
what's
no,
BFG?
No, guys, okay. It's a book. It's called The Big Friendly Giant.
Oh, God, this is going to not segue at all. We made a huge mistake.
So, wait, The Rock's not going to be in this movie?
No.
Damn.
But I thought it was going to be Doom 2 because of, like,
no.
The whole first-person shooter coming back.
No, 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 no.
All right, we're going to watch The Big Friendly Giant.
Do you guys even book?
Okay, so that was BFG. For a movie that's coming out pretty soon, especially coming from Disney, I haven't heard too much about it. I will say this. This trailer kind of looks like it's more geared towards people who already know the book than it is explaining what's about to happen to get new people in. Which is, you know, I guess that's kind of how you want to start your first trailer, I think, if it's the first one. Two, I'm confused. Spielberg, isn't he part of DreamWorks?
Well, I mean,
and now
he's doing
a Disney movie.
He kind of flip-flops. I mean, he also directed, what was the Bridge of Spies, which is also a Disney movie.
Yeah, he recently did that with Touchdown. So this is the first time I've ever really seen the Disney logo with an Amblin Entertainment logo, which is kind of neat. It took this long.
Yeah. The other thing that I don't know the book. Well,
okay.
I'll just put that out there.
Yeah.
I'm not completely sold on the trailer.
Oh, basically,
yet,
basically, in short, it's about this giant who brings dreams to kids, and so he has this trumpet that, you know, like this trumpet-like instrument that basically it transmits dreams into their dream when they're asleep.
Okay.
That's the gist of it.
All right, but here's where I'm at. Just from initial watching, I'm a little afraid that this might be Because Ron Howard, did you like his A Christmas Carol? He did A Christmas... Or who did A
Oh,
Christmas
Robert Zemeckis.
Carol? Yeah, he
that
did
That
a...
Robert Zemeckis?
That was yeah, Robert was. Zemeckis.
And he did A Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey, which wasn't all that great.
It was deep into Uncanny Valley.
Were you into that movie?
It was very true to the book, that's one thing. But it was very distracting seeing, you know, a lot of this mocap. Not mocap, but like this very ultra-realistic CGI.
And that's kind of what this is going a little bit to...
Honestly, I feel like
I just feel that's what I saw. When I saw
honestly,
it.
I feel like CGI is actually pretty good, especially in the giant world. But I will say that the little girl tends to stick out like a fucking sore thumb. All right, she really does. Like it kind of broke the image for me whenever they show like her in the corner.
I trust Spielberg. I'll just put that out there. I'm not sold on it yet, but again, that's why it's the first trailer, so it's not a huge deal. I am slightly concerned about this movie getting lost in the shuffle of this summer, which is huge.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's doing very much to make it stand out at this point.
Well, it's a Disney movie. Disney movies tend to sell.
That's the thing. Is it a Disney movie or is it a Spielberg movie? It's like, you know, I'm a little confused as like, you know, how the trailer's trying to convey it to be. I mean, honestly, I would like it to be a good Spielberg movie. I don't want it to be one of those Spielberg movies where I feel like it was a lot less than what it could have been.
Had you not read the book ahead of time and you just saw this trailer knowing nothing else, how would you feel?
I would kind of feel a little lost.
Yeah, same.
I am
that's
lost.
Where I'm at.
I am
and
a
that's,
lost.
And that's why I'm saying it's more geared towards, you know, the people. And that makes sense. But eventually they have to show us something. Because, again, this media is a show-me state. It's not, hey, read these 15,000 comic books before you get here. It's kind of – and they need to do that with this trailer because this is a – huge summer. A huge summer. There is blockbuster after blockbuster.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a Bourne movie coming out that most people don't even know. So, and Damon's back, is it, right?
Yeah, he is back.
And it looks great.
And I mean, that's big news, but you don't hear much about it. And this is kind of the movie that is going to get, I think, lost in the shuffle, much like we talked about Tarzan getting lost in the shuffle.
Right now, Disney has a lot of movies coming out. They got, Alistair, Looking Glass, Finding Dory.
Why are they doing
this
all at
one?
The same time? They're fighting each other.
It's every month they're coming out with something.
So, we'll see. We're going to move on from BFG into Alice Through the Looking Glass. So, good transition. Okay, so that's coming out very soon, May 27th. And again, not much about it. There's nothing in this film that really makes me, or the trailer makes me very excited to see it. I think this is another one that's going to get lost. It's going up against X-Men. What's new? Why do we want to see this? I don't even know what's going on. And it's the trailer a month and a half before, not even a month and a week or two before.
Also, is this movie even based on a book? Like, how many books do they have?
Is it based on a screenplay? Because all I saw was a bunch of people screaming and running around.
Yeah, a lot of overacting.
I wasn't a fan of Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland when it came out. He looks like he didn't do this one. He was just a producer, but they're kind of just taking what was the look and feel of that one and just kind of amped it up. And that's the thing, this trailer just didn't make any sense whatsoever. It was just, they used a song that just happened to be, you know, based on Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. They just kind of, you know, eventually it was like, it started off the original song, but then it kind of went into like this like dubstep kind of thing at the very end. Yep. It was really weird. It was neat to hear Alan Rickman again.
It is. Yeah. That would be the
may he rest in peace.
They had that's the thing about the movie. It had a lot of really good voice actors. You had Stephen Fry, who did the voice of the Cheshire Cat. Alan Rickman was the caterpillar in the original. So it looks like they got everybody back. But that's the thing. If you didn't like the first, you wouldn't probably like this one or want to see this one. And I'm one of those that has no desire to watch this one.
Also, looks like they have Sacha Baron Cohen as well. Not showing a lot of them.
He plays time.
Right now.
That's the thing. I like the design of time, though. Mm-hmm. That's the cool thing about it. But I don't know. Well, no, I do know. I'm not interested.
Yeah. All right, so Ratchet & Clank's coming out. It looks like they only have one trailer. I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
I have seen it. They're promoting it pretty heavily online, especially like through Sony sites. They have like a story trailer on the PlayStation channel.
Well, that's for their game.
Yeah, there's also a game coming out too. Yeah, so it kind
of I feel like the movie might be buried by the game itself.
But that's the thing: is it based on the game or is the game based on the movie?
I'm so lost.
It sounds to me that they're rebooting the first.
It has to
game.
Be because like this game has been around. The series has been around for a long time
since I was a kid.
Since PlayStation 2's been around. Oh, yeah. So fun games, but they've never made like a TV series. Never made like a. Like a movie.
It kind of came out of nowhere for it to be a movie.
Yeah.
Honestly,
because this is kind of like one of those things where it might be too little too late because you may have missed your big capitalization moments, which could have happened when the PS2 came out.
I was in probably college when this game was like really popular, mm-hmm. and it's like, I don't think a lot of kids have really played a lot of Ratchet & Clank games. Is this a way to introduce to a new generation?
I don't think a lot of people are going to play. Does Ratchet & Clank really hold up to this, kind of generation that we're seeing now?
They're all really fun games. I just replayed, all of them on PS Vita.
But with these kids nowadays, they don't seem to like the same things that we did.
That's the thing.
True.
Yeah.
But then also, that would explain why they're making a whole new game right now. Like, they're coming out with the game, I believe, just in a couple of weeks.
Unless you can tweet that you won, I don't think anyone's going to care. Mm-hmm. But we'll find out here in a second. We're about to play the trailer from 5 months ago. Okay, so I'm confused on what they're marketing towards. Is it, hey, this is a new kids movie, guys, come and check it out, and then come watch, and then come play our video game?
They're marketing toward kids, I guarantee it. They're marketing towards kids that will watch the movie, probably enjoy it, and then will realize that there's a game that's attached to it.
Which,
and
by the way, the game has been getting great reviews, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Well, the games have always been really really great. Who makes them? It is,
Video game studio.
Well, it's actually a pretty prominent video game studio, actually. But, they're really great. They have really funny, quippy humor. Their weapon selection is amazing. And I'm actually really glad to see a few of their weapons even show up in this movie.
Did you get the quick wit and stuff from this movie, though? The trailer?
Honestly, no. This seems more like child humor, you know?
Do you think this what is this off?
Trailer just came off like some very typical children's anime.
Yeah.
The narration tried to be a little bit, it broke the fourth wall, tried to be a little bit crazy. Ugh.
I'm still gonna watch it because
but yeah, I like the fact that you had the mm-hmm. weapon element. They teased it a little bit, and that's what the Ratchet & Clank games has always been known for, have been, because of the fact that you would have like these just really insane insane type of games, and that was really cool. Whenever when Insomniac first developed the games,
yes.
You're welcome. So nostalgia for gamers who are a bit older now, and they can probably bring their kids to see this because gamers have families too.
They do. And what was I gonna say? I am looking forward to this movie. I'm basically a giant kid. I watch every single. Like animated kids movie. I grew up.
Right.
Okay then.
We're just messing with
it. It's because of these movies. I actually went into animation as a major and graduated with it. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully the animation looks a little better than it does in the trailers though.
Mm.
I'm not looking forward to this movie. I think it's going to be a hard pass, but maybe I'm wrong.
I'll tell you how it is then.
It really threw me off seeing Sylvester Stallone as like one of the voices in the movie. So I'm like,
oh, we should skip. Wait. I know what we should. Oh, yeah. So we're going to move on. Our next one, we're going to try to tie it right back into because we're going to see another animated film here. We're going to go right to Lego Batman and all the talk of DC. One of their characters is actually being Legotized after the success of the Lego Movie, which was a great movie.
Great movie that should have at least been nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, how the hell did that happen?
I believe it's because they had...
Chris Pratt.
No, I believe it's because they had live-action scenes, and I think someone up there was dumb enough to think that it was stop-motion animation, which it wasn't. It was actually all 3D CGI. If it was stop-motion, it would have taken 10 years for them to do.
Right, now that you have all that knowledge, I loved it. I'm excited. Lego Batman's here.
Great movie.
And we're going to check out the trailer for Lego Batman.
Will Arnett Batman is best Batman.
Okay, so I thought it was funny, but I really don't like how he was looking at he was looking at the family portrait. And he never once said, it's very self-aware, which I think the Lego movie, I thought, did a great job.
I believe... the two directors of Lego Movie, they're just foreseeing and they're producing this one. They got a different director for it, but it's like you said, it feels just like the Lego Movie. And honestly, Batman in the Lego Movie was like one of my favorite things.
He was the best part.
Will
of the
Arnett
movie,
just he was awesome. And so when they were saying they're doing a Lego Batman movie, I was kind of like, okay. But then, you know, hearing more about it, like they got Zach Galifianakis, he's playing the Joker.
Nice.
Michael Cera is Robin.
Ooh,
so it's kind of neat to see a little bit of like an Arrested Development reunion in that right there.
It
so.
Looks to me like there's also the first Justice League movie as well.
Technically, technically.
I think it looks great. I'm also noticing they're really emoting Batman's cowl a bit too when he's talking. Which was something that they didn't really do in the first Lego movie. When they animated them, it was very simplistic to make it have that stop-motion animation look, whereas this one, it completely looks like throwing that out the window because it didn't work out last time.
Yeah.
I only say that because the Academy Awards are a bunch of idiots. So, yeah.
But, yeah, so I think it looks like a good film. It looks self-aware. It's hilarious. It mocks on itself, yet it looks like it is going to probably be... It looks like it is going to be an interesting film, and it looks like they actually have an idea for it instead of, hey, here's a concept. There's a very difference between having an idea of where you're going and just having a concept, and I think this has a good idea of where it's going. Mm-hmm. So we're going to pause to watch Neighbors 2.
Sorority Rising.
You guys excited?
Yeah, I like the first one. It was good.
I love the first one. How do you feel about the idea of the second one?
You know, it's kind of neat. I like the fact that you can, you know, I think the fact that, you know, when you think college and parties, it's always, well, you know, rowdy guys and fraternities. You know, the fact that they're doing this whole kind of bridesmaids kind of aspect, you know, girls can be raunchy too.
And Chloe's great.
Yeah, and so that, I love Chloe Grace Moretz. So the fact that you get to see her kind of maybe do something a little bit very hit girl-esque again.
Yes.
Is very... Is shown in this.
Are you nervous about it being repetitive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because when it comes to comedies, it's like 22 Jump Street, and you know, at least 22
but
Jump Street. But 22 Jump Street knew what it was doing. It's like, you know, just do exactly what you did the first time.
Right.
I'm not afraid of it being repetitive because I didn't see the first one.
It's good.
It is good.
On a side note, I used to work at Universal Studios, and they were actually filming the end of the movie, literally right next to where I check in to work. So it was just really weird walking out and see, oh, there's Seth Rogen and Zac Efron, and Zac's not wearing a shirt. It's another day at the office.
Nice. All right, so we're now checking out Neighbors 2. This is the Red Band trailer.
Ooh. NSFW.
You can be slightly concerned that it's going to get stale, but it doesn't look like it's going to get stale. It looks like they've really redone the whole thing, and they know what they're doing.
LL Cool J with an apparatus in his hand. Oh, my God. That's funny.
How many times do we need to see Seth Rogen have sex?
Not enough. Keep it
not
going.
Not enough.
This was great.
You want to see his fiery body?
There wasn't an issue I didn't have with this movie so far. I think this looks better than the last
one. I have to be honest. I red-boxed Neighbors just because I wasn't really on board with the first one. I regretted that. It was actually really funny, and it had some really good moments in it. You know, when it comes to, like, you know, being new parents. And it kind of continues that whole aspect, but at the same time, of course, you're throwing in a lot of raunch humor. And this one was definitely raunchier than the other trailers that I've seen for this movie. And they brought back the airbag gag, so I'm on board for this.
The girl getting shot at the car was just outstanding.
That was great.
And her yelling like that was. I think I'm totally on board for this movie. Mm. Yeah, you?
Oh yeah, I'll watch it.
All right, cool. Yesterday we talked about Hardcore Henry, which we all loved, but we were kind of concerned that more and more people would run off with this first-person shooter and kind of use it as a crutch and not really put together a whole film. The next movie coming out that looks that way is Pandemic, and so we're going to watch a trailer for that and get a feel if this thing is going to start running out of control or not.
All right. Already from what I've seen, I said this before, but I think this is just natural progression, honestly. I thought the next movie would be a horror.
So, we'll find out here in a second. Pandemic. So, you kind of got your wish in that. That kind of looks like a horror film. But
yeah.
I don't think it looks nearly as interesting, or it doesn't look like they've done nearly as much as what they did with Hardcore Henry. As far as the action sequences look, I think some of the set designs are a little bit more extensive. There's a little bit more to the settings than what was in Hardcore Henry. You know, it's just because this is apocalypse type film, there's more going on, which was cool. And I'll give it that. But I think that this might be. I don't think this is going to play as well as Hardcore
Henry. A lot of people are going to be comparing it to Hardcore Henry.
Yeah.
I got a lot of I got a Battle Los Angeles kind of vibe looking at the trailer.
Yeah.
So,
not necessarily a good thing for me.
No, unfortunately.
I just think this is, I think this is one of those films where it was kind of, the story's been done before, and they're like, oh, okay, what can we do to make it interesting? And they're like, let's do a first-person shooter, and then all of a sudden, that's their way of crutching it into a film that will make money or might be interesting to people. I personally don't think that this is going to work out, and I think this is one of those things where it's using the crutch to try to get going.
But again, you know, you had a lot of movies that came out after Blair Witch Project that were found footage until eventually, you know, years later, that genre became legitimate. So this is one of those that kind of goes into that process until eventually we'll soon get that first-person movie that will really just, you know, blow everyone away.
Honestly, I think it's just kind of weird camera angles, personally. I noticed that they look down a lot in this, and it seems to me like the focal point of each shot was the gun or their weapon, which it's kind of odd.
I think what this movie looks like is a lot, it looks like it's geared to sell you as a video game experience. Mm. Even that guy says, good luck. That's kind of like a video game thing.
Or the fact that they just said, they straight up say, think of like a game.
I think that's really what this movie is really trying to be. It's trying to be that. It's trying to be your video game experience, whereas our Hardcore Henry was, this is a story we're telling through this
and
experience.
And they didn't at all have anything like that. I mean, there could have been moments in that movie where you could have put like a little loading emblem on it, and that would have been really cool to see, but they didn't do that because they took it in its own world, and its own world it was serious. Of course, it was just completely batshit crazy serious, but... You know, but this one, it just, like I said, it just didn't feel right.
Nope. And we'll probably see more movies like that coming around.
Unfortunately.
For now, we're actually doing a surprise. We didn't tell you about this one, but this one's called Swiss Army Man.
Yeah.
I remember you guys telling me about this one.
Farting movie. All
right.
Because we're getting into Fantastic Beasts is what we're going to close out with. So we're going to give you our take on Swiss Army Man. All right, so farting Daniel Radcliffe.
I feel like you lied to me. There's not nearly enough farting in this movie.
But that's what starts it off. I think it looks like a really good, creative, interesting movie because there's a lot. It's called Swiss Army Man, and that's obviously because Daniel Radcliffe is this guy, Swiss Army Man. He can do anything. Obviously, he's riding through the ocean on him. He's shooting a gun. He's shooting a rocket. There's a lot of things.
He's
this
breaking logs with his arms.
Which was pretty cool. I just think that this movie just has such a creative spirit that even if the whole entire storyline doesn't quite work out, the way that they're visually going to tell this movie is still going to work out in that it's going to be an interesting hour and a half to 2 hours just because they're going to go off on these mini journeys. And I think there's going to be something very intellectual about the way Paul Dano, that's who he is,
yeah,
right? Finds himself kind of as this lost person who's trying to kill himself. Which, I think this movie is going to do a great job.
I really see that Paul Dano is like the Tom Hanks character in Castaway, and Daniel Radcliffe is Wilson. But, it has that kind of quirky that plot point to it. And they extended that whole relationship between Tom Hanks' character and Wilson. But they just take it into a really, really fantastic perspective. And I really can't wait to check this one out.
I think it looks fun, although I, spoiler for you guys, but I feel like the end is going to turn out to be just him hallucinating before he suffocates the guy, at least.
Yeah.
I get that kind of feeling.
And that's fine, but I think this movie is going to be more about the journey than it is what the ending is, because I think it does give away a lot of what is going to end up happening. You know, we see Daniel Radcliffe talking, but I don't think ultimately Daniel Radcliffe is still alive. I think ultimately
he's definitely dead. The guy is mad.
I'm very interested to see this story be told just because I think there's so many different ways that it can go, and the way that it's already showing that it's not being held or contained in any way whatsoever. It's willing to just shoot off into the sky, which has a lot of what was that movie called? Moon Rocket to the Moon or whatever, that early 1920s movie.
Fly Me to the Moon?
You're
one with the Smashing Pumpkins video.
What do you mean, the name of the song?
Trip to the Moon or something?
I'm sorry. Yeah, A Trip to the Moon. They made a movie based on the director, Hugo.
Yeah. And it looks like this kind of has parts of that work. Just that kind of futuristic aspect that anything can really happen anywhere. I'm very excited to see where this can go. But as we're talking about Daniel Radcliffe, we are going to move on to Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Now, this is the first kind of spin-off film of the Harry Potter franchise, as we all know, is pretty popular. In this one, J.K. Rowling actually wrote this one.
This is her first screenwriting. This first time she wrote a movie.
She wrote the book, but from what I'm hearing though, the book itself is very different than what this is going to be.
Well, that's fine too. But I'm just very excited that she's actually going to be writing her own screenplay. It does look great already. We already have, what's his name?
Eddie Redmayne.
Eddie Redmayne already is the head of it. We saw an early trailer where it was really interesting because it just kind of opened this world of whatever. And those are always good films because you're not sandwiched into knowing what's about to happen next.
And so, this looks like a movie that can stand on its own as well too. So for people who don't want to see Harry Potter, because I guess name Harry Potter, I'm sick of hearing Harry Potter is Harry Potter.
Or there's 8 films to catch up on.
Yeah, you can actually watch these separately enjoy like for
most
own.
Of those 8 films are pretty good though.
They are, especially Prisoner of Azkaban. That was the best.
So we're going to check this out. This is our last one, and we'll be right back.
Mm.
All right, so we talked about this in Star Wars, and I don't know if you'll be able to hear that or not, but one of the things, like the trailer for Rogue One, is there was a couple of, you know, piano hits, a couple of musical notes that automatically bring you back to the mood, which is a very cool thing with franchises that they're able to do that so quickly, but it's pretty awesome because it just fills you with everything that you've already seen. If you didn't already get that, this trailer does a really good job of getting you back into that. There's the wizard, you know, they start talking about Hogwarts, and they start talking about Dumbledore. So they get you all back into that mode. They start showing you off some of the different wizardy things that they can do. In Harry Potter, it starts off really childish with Christopher Columbus directing the first two, and it starts to get darker as it goes on. This film already drops you into the kind of darker moments. It doesn't have to build that. But there are some nice little kid moments. I think there was like a mouse or something kind of
like a
around.
Mole. Like a mole.
So there's still some kind of, you know, childish moments that make you excited, but there's also very dark moments where people are being pushed out of the way. There's obviously something serious going on here. Maybe even some more political ideology behind these things. But I think it does a very good job of bringing everything you loved about Harry Potter into this. You've got the action, you've got the magic, you've got the wonder, and you've got some very comedic moments here too, like that last part of the trailer when he's walking into his suitcase is actually kind of a funny moment, and that brings you back to those Harry Potter movies that you really enjoyed. I think they've done a great job, and I think this is probably there's going to be another trailer coming out because it doesn't come out until November, so there's going to be at least one or two more. But I think it's done a good job of not telling you what's in the suitcase, but telling you it is something major big, and we just don't know what
it is.
So we're very, I think it's very exciting to see where this film's going to unravel, and they're keeping a lot under or wrapped up.
Yeah, you know? It's neat that they're taking the series and the tone away from Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And you're bringing it into New York City. I mean, we've seen
1920s for that.
We've seen many movies that deal with New York City, but you know, it's a little bit of a twist because apparently wizards do exist in America, in New York City, believe it or not. So you have this character, Newt Scamander, who honestly I think is going to be one of the more interesting original characters to be on screen for quite some time. And yeah, you were mentioning about they were building on him coming into America. They would mention things about, you know, Hogwarts and Dumbledore, but then you never see Hogwarts, you never see Dumbledore in the trailer, and then you see some of the more action set pieces, and then you hear Hedwig's theme in the very iconic John Williams music, and then that just brings you into it more and more. And that was really powerful for me. I'm just seeing in the teaser that's very unique because they're not relying on Harry Potter. They're relying on your interest in J.K. Rowling's creation and what she has to offer in terms of, you know, the worlds of wizards.
And really what this story is. I mean, they don't really latch onto the past. They really just let this movie stand alone on its own, gives a lot.
They don't even say Harry Potter anywhere in the name.
No,
well,
no,
that's
no.
because he doesn't exist at this moment, because this is a prequel, we can tell, because this is 1920s, and if you go to some of the Harry Potter, like 7 or 8, and they show the UK, it's actually current. It's like a well-built city. So this is obviously some kind of prequel.
Yeah.
What I was going to say unlike Rogue One, where like they say a Star Wars story, I'm really glad they didn't say something like a Harry Potter or whatever.
Yeah, they're not relying on it.
They're relying on just J.K. Rowling as a writer in general. And I love the setting. I've always loved the roaring 20s flapper look And I think that they really captured it super well, and I cannot wait for them to put the wizard spin on it.
You saw the hidden alleys.
Oh, yeah.
You got the newspapers that have the moving images, and also photos in the background still moving. It felt like what you would see in the Harry Potter
movies. I feel very confident in this movie because it feels like the studio is very confident in this movie because they're not, as you guys said, relying on Harry Potter. It's just the idea of this movie alone looks awesome.
From what I saw, you really didn't have any kids in the trailer. So you have, I think, a really adult Harry Potter movie.
Yeah.
And that's what's really cool. I mean, a lot of us who were Harry Potter fans when we were younger, we're getting older. And so this is something that's kind of maybe more relatable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I'm perceiving it to be.
This is gonna be a very good film,
I think. Yeah.
And so out of all the ones that we saw today, Rogue One, Suicide Squad, Kong, TMNT, Bye Bye Man, War Dogs, BFG, oh god, we've done a lot. Alice Through the Looking Glass, Ratchet and Clank, Neighbors 2, Lego Batman, Pandemic, Swiss Army Man, and Fantastic Beasts. What are your top three?
Top three? Andrew, take this one first.
All right, so I would have to say Rogue One.
Okay.
Fantastic Beasts, and... You know what? I was really surprised by War Dogs. I was I actually cannot wait to see that.
So that's it over Suicide Squad for you.
Shit, I forgot we watched that. I guess I'm not gonna go back, but I guess.
All right, for you?
For me, it's definitely gonna be Rogue One as number one. I'm on board for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Second, Suicide Squad. Just because I like seeing the villains. I like villain stories, and this one just seems like it's gonna be just really crazy. And then, well, third, I would probably have to pick Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Rogue One is number one, but Fantastic Beasts is 1A. They're very close for me.
I was going to say that, but I had to pick one or the other.
So, and then three, I think it's some kind of mix between Neighbors 2 and War Dogs. But I think War Dogs ends up winning out for me.
Hmm.
I'm not, as I said, I'm not totally excited for Suicide Squad because I'm kind of at the point with DC, it's just show me. You gotta show me.
Okay.
I'm excited. I'm hoping it's good, but I'm not.
Also, this trailer It's not their best trailer. And honestly, I think their best trailer so far has been
Comic-Con.
Yes, the Comic-Con trailer is the best one because I feel like that one's probably the closest to what this movie might actually be in tone. Especially with their Bee Gees song they chose.
Yeah,
Just the line, just that one line. I started the joke, and the world started to cry. That probably sums up Joker perfectly.
All right, so that's going to end our trailer thing that we're doing today. As we talked about, or maybe you didn't get it if our audio issue went out, well, we talked to Indiana Jones 5 news, Crystal Skull Part 2. We're
really excited about it.
Vox recently released, again, the actor and actors are consistently in the worst movies. Not much of a surprise there. The best, John C. Reilly, I think, was pretty cool. Trailer Parks, again, we went over Star Wars, Suicide Squad, Kong, TMNT, Bye Bye Man, War Dogs, BFG, Alice Through the Looking Glass, Ratchet and Clank. Yeah, we hit some bad ones in there, though, too. Neighbors 2, Lego Batman, Pandemic, Swiss Army Man, and Fantastic Beasts. Oh, Swiss Army Man could make my top three, too. That looks really interesting. All right, so speaking of trailers, we're going to segue that right in. Tonight, definitely check out... what show?
Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Jimmy Kimmel's going to have the first Doctor Strange trailer. So that's Benedict Cumberbatch. Yes. Which we talked earlier was one of the... I think he was definitely in the top 10.
That's a sequel to Doctor Strangelove, right?
Yeah, it actually is just a reboot.
Cool. Have you seen the poster to that movie, Doctor Strange?
Yes, yes, I have.
It's like you see his back, right?
Yeah.
And like we saw the Star Trek Into Darkness poster that had his back also. And what was that other one?
He's got a sexy back.
Imitation Benedict Cumberback.
Honestly, I think it's a lot better than floating heads in a poster.
Yeah,
I hate floating heads.
The back thing is another trope that's kind of going on right now.
All right. So we did a podcast yesterday. Check it out. It's a lot of Batman versus Superman stuff if you're interested into that. We do have – this is actually pretty cool. Last night we tweeted out that we were Team Iron – I was Team Iron Man. Jonathan went with Team Cap.
I had to create a little bit of animosity in the ranks.
Oh, and it's been built. So
I had to be Team Captain America with you.
Yeah.
Get off my
– I'm sorry, man.
Get off my plane. All right. So anyways
– Martha.
It's actually really cool if you do that. Go ahead and check that out. Pick that your tweet. There's a whole thing that you can tweet to.
Hashtag it.
And they will actually tweet you back. I won't give out the surprises of who it is, but you will actually get a nice clip back. It's actually very cool. So check that out. Special message from the different teams going on. Other than that, we've got really nothing more for you. Next week I will be gone, so these two will take the reins. I will be working Coachella. So... I guess I'm not going to have a bad time, but you guys will probably have a better time. I think we'll have stuff from Jungle Book, Possibly Criminal, Green Room, and Barbershop, depending on how brave these guys want to get.
And I have all weekend.
When we come back, we're also have some great things in store. We have some. We're gonna try to do like a once a month kind of pay per view thing. You actually aren't gonna have to pay for it. It's just kind of the name for it. I guess we'll have to come up with a cool name.
Click
for
and
it.
View.
Click and
yeah.
View.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. So we've got a few things coming up for you, including a name change of the podcast itself, and then we've got like 10 different cool events that we're very excited to release to you. And then also, if you guys are in the LA area and you guys are somewhat interested in, you know, talking with us, send us tweets right on our Facebook or whatever, and maybe we can strike up a dialogue, and maybe you can come on the show sometime as a guest, and we'll just kind of see how things go from there. But we're pretty open to meeting new people, so if you guys are interested, come say hey. That's about all I got for today. You guys got anything awesome coming up this week, movie or otherwise?
Really right now, I'm just honestly catching up on Jessica Jones. I'm almost done watching on Netflix. I really want to get into Daredevil, so that's what I'm kind of working on right now.
Nice.
I just restarted the first season of Daredevil, so I can just lead up to the second.
Ooh.
And I'm
it's a great season.
I've been on the second season of Game of Thrones for almost a month now, because I'm doing a great job. But I'm kicking out Silicon Valley, which is good. But other than that, tonight I really got into Joy Division this week. That's right, yeah, didn't I? Yeah, Joy Division, right?
Joy Division.
Yeah, there was a movie that came out in 2007 called Control.
Okay.
That I'm very excited to finally check out. I don't know why, but all of a sudden I found myself in a Joy Division mode. Okay. So, but
I've been just mostly nostalgic lately. You know, Netflix now has, what was it, We're Back, Dinosaur Story, and also Land Before Time.
Yeah.
So I love the Don Bluth movie, so I just been rewatching Land Before Time, so yeah.
I remember seeing that in the theater. I was really, really young, but I never saw We're Back.
You saw We're Land Back. Before Time in the theater?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my God.
I had, like, a plush little foot and everything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How old are you?
All right, I will tell the audience that I am younger by at least, I want to say 10 years.
No, definitely not me.
No, him. Oh, I am God. I am him.
Thanks. Well, I don't think that really matters.
No, it doesn't.
Nope.
Because Jonathan's still kicking it here with a Nintendo phone case and Taco Bell.
I honestly thought that he was just a couple years older than me.
I did too.
Tell you the truth. He's a pretty young, he's a young looking guy.
I'm not really sure everyone listening really cares about this
no,
at this point.
Not at all.
But you guys are doing wonders for my ego, so thank you.
And they may have tuned out years
also
ago.
I love his shirt, by the way.
What is it?
Oh, this one.
it's the Burger King Get to the Whopper.
No, it looks sure. like, it looks like an 80s Burger King.
Get to the Whopper.
Yeah, get to the Whopper. Yeah, I love it.
It looks like Dutch, and there's a predator right behind him. He's stuffing his face with a Whopper, and I mean, you just look at this shirt. You just want to say, "Get to the Whopper!"
There it is. He did it the best out of
all. Do it now.
Other things to check out. Oh, tomorrow our guys on the East Coast are going to be checking out Captain America: Civil War.
Lucky bastards.
Got their tickets to go see it early, so they're going to see it on Thursday. They'll hopefully be checking out. I don't know. I doubt they'll do one Thursday night, but Friday you should be definitely checking it out. They'll have a podcast up. I want to thank everyone who's followed us already on Twitter and has been mentioning and sharing us. A special shout out to the Greek Collective, I think is their name. I'll definitely have it for next week. Or 2 weeks, because I won't be here. Anything else? We're all good? We're all good?
I think we're good.
We're green.
Cool. Watch movies. Get back to us. Let us know if we're missing something. And talk to us. All right, cool. We will see you guys later.
Love you.
Later.